recap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We're glad to make us part of your morning on SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. I am Tony D alongside Ron Culver. Glad you could be with us on a Monday. This should just call July Sports Teaser Month because that's all this is. It's just a teaser. What July gives you is anticipation. Yes, it'll give you Wimbledon, and every 4 years like a World Cup final, and it gives you some golf like the British Open, which will be held this week. But overall, in terms of the major sports that we kind of get into and invest a lot of our time and money into, all July is just a teaser before we really kick it in. Think about, like, for example, the NFL. Training camps are going to open up at the end of the month. Yeah, we'll get preseason games and all of that in August, but the anticipation of training camp beginning in the NFL begins in July. What's the NBA giving you right now? Right, free agency off the top of the month, and then NBA Summer League, in which LeBron James shows up in a pair of Laker shorts. Summer League is the most interesting one because it's all just young talent, right? Here is what the NBA has for its future. Come check it out, watch it on TV. If you're in Las Vegas, check out some games. It's the future. Again, teasing. Major League Baseball, it's not only giving you the All-Star Game, it's not only giving you the Home Run Derby, but it's setting you up for the second half of the year, which in a lot of cases, it's going. I've been saying this ever since we began the show last week. Watch what's going on in the American League. It is must-see TV. It's going to be must-watch TV all the way through in September in terms of how the Red Sox are playing with the Yankees, the Astros, Seattle, Cleveland, all of the teams that are vying to win 100 games this year and how it's all going to sort out when we get to the postseason. So again, but the biggest tease in the month of July is going to kick off today. And it happens at this time when media days really start kicking in for conferences, especially in the Southeastern Conference. Because in Atlanta, Georgia, for the next 4 days, fans and media are all going to gather to not only celebrate the sport of college football, but the conference of college football. And it's not even going to be a great event. It never really is. Occasionally we get some fun quotes here or there, but it's just a standard Q&A that feels a lot bigger than it actually is. So it's all these teases that are occurring this month heading us out into the fall. Coming up, what did we see over the weekend in terms of the World Cup, Wimbledon, and all of the things that actually play games? I am Tony D, SB Nation AM.
Is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you can be with us this morning. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. You have a catchier way of saying that, by the way, when you tell people that it's Ron with two N's?
Nope.
Nope, just say Ron with two N's.
Ron with two N's.
You should come up with a lingo or something. You should like a little jingle for that.
No, you know, the only
gets
thing is
people in their head.
People will ask me why it's Ron with two N's, and I say it's because I need to be symmetrical.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. I never asked you why it was Ron with two N's, because I just went, hey, that's, you know, that's your own business. It's none of my business why it's Ron with two N's. Why would I ask you? I think it's rude to ask you that question.
It's not rude.
I think it's totally rude.
No,
it's not their business.
No,
it's like when you see a name like when my son played youth sports, I would see the roster. My daughter's in youth sports too. Sometimes I'll see the roster and I'll see a name of a girl or a boy that's completely a different spelling than what it should be, like the normal way that you know this name is spelt, and it's a little different, but it sounds exactly the same. And I want to be like, oh, I'm just curious why. But then I go, no, it's none of my business. Maybe it's a family trait. Maybe the parents are being quirky. I mean, I just stay away from that.
Nah, pretty much for me, I illegally changed my name back in high school.
Oh, not? Where? How'd you do that?
Well, all right. My given name is Ronald.
Right.
Right. With one N. So all through growing up, all the way into junior high, I was Ronnie.
Okay, you know, so then you just said
the normal, you know, nickname for a kid who was given the name Ronald. I was Ronnie. And when I left junior high and went into high school, I realized that Ronnie is a kid-sounding name. And I'm not a kid anymore. I'm a man. So I decided to change it to Ron. Now, I added the second N because of a teacher that I had in junior high school that was, I really liked him. And his name was Ron. He spelled it with two N's. Like, very, you know, it was very,
Very, now, that's very tributary. That's a very nice tribute to a teacher. Yeah, very good. I did not know that. All right, now I feel more educated about you.
There you go.
All right, very good.
But yeah, I legally changed my name in high school. I wasn't allowed to do that. You know, I didn't take out a newspaper ad and throw my name in there and let it stick. I just said, you know, I'm going to do it.
All right, very good. Well, Arrest me. So that's Ron with two N's, Ron Culver with two N's on Twitter. You were telling me earlier you were being a good dad. So
I was a great dad this weekend. You
did a lot of baseball with your kid?
He had a tournament this weekend.
All right. Those are great. They take up the whole weekend. They're weekend killers.
Yep.
Yeah, my daughter plays soccer. She'll have like 5 games in 2 days. I'm like, yeah, great. My day is over. I'm not seeing a darn thing that I want to see.
Exactly. Everything I saw was tape delay.
Yep. Did you watch the World Cup Finals on tape delay?
I have not watched it completely. The big soccer nut that I am, I have not watched it fully. I was watching it at the field, though. I had it on my phone. I was watching up until game time started.
Man, you are a soccer nut. The only thing I checked was the score. I was out and about early Sunday, and all I checked was the score. Now, I do have
no
a question.
Spoilers,
because
I don't know the outcome.
Oh, stop. Now, I want to know, though, France winning like this, because, you know, everything I've read and everything I've tried to follow with the World Cup, look, France played exceptional defense. They were a well-put-together team. Everybody bought into whatever they were trying to do in this World Cup, which sometimes is very difficult. Is this a big deal, or is France considered one of these kind of soccer powerhouses? I know they won it in 98. Is it considered one of those soccer powerhouses? And so this is not a big time upset that they won this thing out of all the teams that participated?
No, I don't think it's a big time upset that they won. I wouldn't consider them a soccer powerhouse. They're more of the an ebb and flow type of team. Every once in a while, they have a well-put-together team that is just amazing. Having said that, though, this group of guys, it's a young group. And
yeah, one of the guys is 19 years old.
Yeah, they have no fear. They have, and it's almost almost to a level of disrespect. Not in a bad way, just that, you know, they're cocky, they're arrogant, and they know that they can play, and they play well together. And I really do think, like, this, you know, them winning the World Cup with such a young group, we're going to be talking about them, well, as much as America will talk about them. We're going to be talking about them over the course of the next 4 years, and then they'll be probably the front runners 4 years from now.
All right, so what happens now? So these stars go off to their club teams, but when you get to do they come together like we see in the United States for other events and practices? How do you get these guys, you know, to be together and kind of in a team mode for the next 4 years, so that when we get to the World Cup, no one's like shaking hands, meeting people for the first time?
Well, they'll take a international break for right now. There's nothing on the docket. What they'll have is probably come October, I would say you'd start to see some friendlies, just, you know, throwing a team together, playing against another country, just because, you know, people want to see their country playing against other teams. Literally starting next year, usually tends to be World Cup qualifying.
Yeah.
Now for European teams, starting next year will be the European Championship qualification. Because in 2 years from now, we'll have the Euros, which is a huge soccer competition.
Okay, yeah, that's a big deal.
Just for the continent of Europe. And that, to them, is almost, it's secondary to the World Cup. Obviously, winning the World Cup is number one. You win the Euros, you're going to be number two. France will be the heavy favorite heading into Euros. What would that be, Euros 2019 or 2020?
Okay. All right. So that's how they keep it. All right. Because I'm trying to follow this. I enjoyed watching the World Cup. Unfortunately, I had some commitments yesterday, so I couldn't catch the final live, and I'm just not going to tape delay it. I'm not like you. I can't. For some reason, I don't like tape delayed sports. I can't do, like, I tried to do it with football, like every now and then with my team. If I have something I have to do, the Steelers have a big game, let's say, and I tape delay it, I'll try to avoid all media. I'll get home. But inevitably, I find myself with that fast forward button way too much. Like, I just can't. sit through a regular game. I not only fast forward the commercials, I'm like, all right, let's just get through this and let me just get through this and let me just get to where the meat of the stuff is. And that's the way I deal with tape delayed sports. I know people that will sit and they'll watch a broadcast. They'll tape a football game, for example, and they'll watch it as if it was live, meaning they won't even fast forward through the commercials. They'll just enjoy it as if it was live. I find that very difficult to do. So I wasn't going to tape delay this and watch it later. You know, just to see how this played out. To me, it was fine to just look at the score and see how it was going to play out. But I did see the ending and the award ceremony, and it was pouring rain. I mean, pouring rain. And I saw some highlights, and I realized I did not play in that. It was coming down so hard that my first instinct was, don't tell me they played in this. Do not tell me they played 100 minutes of football or soccer in this weather. Because that I wish I had seen.
Yeah, no, I agree. See, when they play in weather, it's so much more fun. Because, I mean, like, especially when they slide. They're sliding for miles. They remind me of that guy in the Geico commercial.
Oh, he slides forever, right?
Sliding forever. I mean, that literally will happen to him. If they, you know, do a slide kick to try to get the ball, they'll be going like 5, 10, 15 yards sometimes. And that would have been, that would have been a lot more interesting, a lot more fun, probably a lot more controversial in some, you know, with some
plays. Of course. But they play in, I mean, I've seen the MLS games in Colorado that got played in snow.
Oh, that was, well, there was an infamous U.S. game, U.S.
World Cup. Oh, the U.S. played in snow that was deep. I mean, when I talk about snow in Colorado, it's like flurries because it's early in the season. This was, the game you're talking about was held where the snow was deep. I mean, they were shoveling it away.
Yes, and it was, I believe, against Costa Rica. Costa Rica protested.
And they should have. That's inexcusable to play on that kind of level. Play soccer.
Hey, we go down
that
there.
Kind of
we'll
snow.
We'll play in sweltering heat, so it's all right up in high altitudes.
So speaking of sweltering heat, this thing is going to be in Qatar in 4 years.
Oh, God.
Now it's going to be in November and December, so I'm assuming that's going to cut down the heat. But that area is hot no matter where you play it. So I mean, I don't think that's going to be. I don't know. I mean, who am I to say this is going to be good or not? They played this thing in Brazil last time, and they played one match in a stadium that was in the jungle.
So, in the Amazon, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So who am I to say that shouldn't happen? That's too hot. I mean, they played in the Amazon for crying out in July. Well, so who am I to say?
Well, that's FIFA's corruption, if
you
will.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They got bought by
Come
Qatar.
To Qatar. Why Qatar? This is why Qatar. Yeah. Here's an envelope. Oh, Qatar, yeah. Great. We'll have the World Cup there. No problem.
I mean, the main reason why, for the public to know, the main reason why the reason why they're going to hold it in Qatar was because they were going to come up with state-of-the-art technology to have air-conditioned fields inside the stadium.
Oh, they were talking about building that had an artificial cloud that would hide that would hide the sun. Way to go, Einstein.
And then they realize, oh, you know what? We're not there yet.
No, we're not there yet. We're barely building these stadiums.
We haven't gotten in touch with Lex Luthor to create weather patterns.
With my weather machine, I'll control the whole world. I mean, come on. An artificial cloud. What is this, fantasy land? That's so funny that they can make a pitch like that with an envelope full of cash, and then the FIFA people are just so like, well, they'll have an artificial cloud. How could we say no?
Yeah, but you almost believe them because they brought you an indoor ski resort.
That is, that's right.
And they're making islands right off the coast. They're making islands in the shape of the world, in the shape of palm trees.
You're like, they look good. Those look good. I got to be honest with you. Those look good. Yeah, it's true. Oh God.
Does it count that if you buy one of those, you're buying your own island? But that doesn't really count, right?
No, it doesn't.
You can't count that.
No, they can't count that.
Because, I mean, if you buy an island in your mind, it's about to be. And by the way, have you seen that show? There is a show, I believe it's on HGTV, where these people go around and they shop to buy islands.
I've seen it. I haven't seen the show. I try to stay away from those shows, one, for massive jealousy, but two, I keep wondering how a watercolor artist and his and his wife, who is a part-time librarian, have a budget of $3.8 million. Right? I mean, that's basically how every show is.
It was left.
He's a struggling artist. She's a part-time librarian. They have $3.2 million to find a home. Really? And then one of them's like, you know what? And then I want a stable full of racehorses. With this, with the leftover money, I'll be able to buy a Jaguar. Both the car and the animal.
Yeah, not the car, the animal.
Right, exactly. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on.
And enough pounds of beef to feed him a lifetime.
And the so is it kind of like that, where it's not like where they're redoing a house, but instead they're picking an island? Like, I just don't like the way the sun sets over that tree. Do you have others that we could see?
Yeah, there's always, always a choice of three.
Islands.
Always three that you got to decide between. Some may be finished, some may be a work in progress, and others are just raw, untapped paradise.
One has Gilligan and the skipper. The other one has a tattoo and Ricardo Montalban hanging out at a resort.
Yeah, you might have people living on the other side. You don't know.
Goodness.
You got to get out there and explore the island.
One other island has a polar bear for no reason whatsoever and a smoke monster. I mean, that's basically all you have.
But that's the islands. But that's the show I'd want to go on with a realtor, just because you cruise on a boat from island to island. I would have no intention of buying. So I mean, do you have to fill out a credit app to say yes? We do have the means to purchase an island. Or can I just go I'm just curious to shop. No, I don't want to divulge any information.
I just want to be. I'm just curious to get the tour.
Yeah, I just want the free boat ride from island to island.
And this is where your beach home could be, or could be on the other side, and then it could be on the third side. Let's go take a look. Oh, that's great. I will have to check that show out. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, coming up, I mentioned it earlier that the excitement of the upcoming seasons in sports, whether it's NBA with the summer league tees or whether it's NFL with training camp tees and the start of the season, but SEC Media Days is beginning this week. I'll tell you what really goes on there and what people think goes on there next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us on SB Nation AM. I am Tony D. All right, so SEC Media Days is getting started in Atlanta, Georgia. This is the first time that the event has been held outside of Birmingham. And you know what? No surprise. Eventually, this thing was going to get so big, it would have to go to a place like Atlanta. SEC Media Days is just, it's a crazy event. It's over the top. And in reality, it's like any other media event you go to. So I've been to a couple of these. In a couple of conferences, and nobody does it like the SEC. Nobody does the overhype anticipation or celebration of who they are better than the Southeastern Conference, especially when it comes to football. Because look, football, SEC football is like a religion. Everybody talks about that as being part of the Southern culture, right? SEC football and all of that. So what they've done over the last couple of years is really made this an event. I mean, you're talking, they went from 12 teams. They've added two more, so they've got 14 teams. So they've stretched it out to these 4 days. Now, normally you do not have to do these over 4 days. And television, because of the SEC network, is just getting more content. But they're also doing it for another reason. They're also doing it because the SEC fans love to absorb this very slowly, almost like a risotto where you sort of add broth slowly over time until it all absorbs. That's the way the SEC kind of makes its preseason when it comes to these media days. It's very slow. On Monday, we're going to let you absorb Texas A&M, maybe a little Kentucky and LSU. And then Tuesday, it'll be South Carolina and Florida and Vanderbilt. And then we'll do Tennessee in the morning on Wednesday and Alabama later in the day. And when it used to be in Birmingham, Nick Saban would give the State of the Union address or the State of the State address about Alabama football. And he would go, and that was a big deal. It was always carried live. Everyone wanted to know what Nick Saban was going to say about the upcoming season, when it involves players who have been dismissed and additional players. And will this freshman have an impact? And what about this season? But at its crux is always just a Q&A with players and athletes. That's all it is. And a lot of times when you go to this stuff, you don't get any real good information. Now, Steve Spurrier, when he was with both Florida and South Carolina, was always good for a jab or two. Spurrier always understood the nature of this event. He always knew that this was kind of silly. We don't really know anything until we actually start playing football. We all like our teams. We all play hard. We all been working, to better ourselves. We're all happy with our recruiting class. We're all, he knew that that is basically every coach. So he would throw a jab at Tennessee, or he would throw a jab at Florida when he was at South Carolina, or anybody else for that matter. And it was always tongue-in-cheek, and it was always fun, because he always knew he could add a spice. Because the other thing that he knew, and this was brilliant on his part, I was surprised other coaches really don't take up on this. I mean, some do, but not a lot, is that he also understood that in the mundane answers that you really get from this, because in the end, your notebook is filled with cliche after cliche after cliche, that he knew in a very mundane event that if he could do something, he was going to put a spotlight on him in the program. And that's really all, you know, really in the end, that's what they're there for. They're there to market the program. And so when every coach is talking about, well, we're really proud of our kids, they all worked hard, and we're really excited about the upcoming season, I'll tell you, no team is going to play harder than our Auburn Tigers, or no team's going to play harder than our Ole Miss Rebels. Every coach is going to say that. Spurrier would go the other way. And sometimes Spurrier would sit back and go, well, you know, I don't think we're very good this year, but I'm going to try hard, certainly play as best we can. Got some recruits, got some freshmen I think can play, and, you know, I think it's hard, but, you know, that – we're not like Tennessee, you know, that goes out and buys players. You're like, that's the stuff he would do, right? And he'd be like, oh, did I say that? And then everybody would go, yeah, you did. But he would always, he'd have fun with the other schools, but he always had fun with the event. What it is, and what it's always been, these media days, okay? Let me make this clear. In a day and age where you can put video out, in a day and age where you can send everything viral, there is absolutely no reason other than to gather around with your media pals and have some free dinner on your company. There is absolutely no reason for these things to actually exist. Other than, right? Other than a celebration of the sport itself. And maybe, just maybe, you can get a one-on-one with somebody for your paper or radio or TV. And that's really it. But you can do that as well. I mean, you can go and find the schools and ask for a one-on-one interview. But it's kind of like a one-stop shop for these things. You do not get in the inside information that people are looking for. So on the one hand, it's a celebration of college football. On the other hand, it's not where you're going to find real detailed inside information on the schools. It is all cliche driven. For the most part, it is all about feel good about the upcoming season. We're really excited. Maybe even your school like Ole Miss, it's on probation, or you just say things, you know, you talk about how promising the future is. It's designed to get the schools, to make the fans of that school feel better about that program. Even if you're predicted to finish last, even if you have a very inexperienced team, even if on paper your schedule looks like come hell or high water, you're never going to get through it. That's the goal of these media days, is to whet the appetite of the fans that are dying for this sport. And I've been to a number of these. They're not very memorable, except I've got a couple of good memories with them, but I don't remember coming away from them going, wow, we got this massive scoop. Somebody dropped this bombshell of a story. Nope, it's mostly just a celebration. And to be honest with you, when you talk to SEC fans, or you talk to college football fans in general, when it comes to these kind of events, that's all they really want. It's a long off season if you're a college football fan. There's college football playoffs, and then there's a championship, and then there's the signing day in February, and for pretty much that's it. Spring games come and they go, and that's pretty much it. There's not a lot of built-in stories that come around. And you get to the summer and you're just dying for it to start, and then you get these media days, and all of a sudden there's the head coach, and there's the quarterback, and there's the Heisman potential wide receiver or running back or defensive end or whoever it is, and you're excited. And maybe your school has a new head coach and you just want to hear that new head coach talk about how great it is to be at your school, how awesome it is to be at your school, and how he gets your school better than you get your school. That's all this is. It's all it is. But you know what? It serves a great purpose. Because for the next 4 days, and I kid you not, for the next 4 days, the amount of information and the amount of stories that will be written with really no real super content will be pouring out of Atlanta, Georgia, and other places where media days will continue. In Frisco, Texas, the Big 12, for example, is going to kick off. But they've got 10 teams, and guess what they're doing? 5 at a time, and they'll end it on Tuesday. The SEC might go till next Thursday. I'm Tony D. It's SB Nation AM.
to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM. Again, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. You can hit Ron Culver at Twitter, at Ron Culver, and that's Ron with two N's. Ah, O'Reilly's. O'Reilly Auto Parts are guaranteed to get your everyday low price on the parts you need. Guaranteed low prices ensure you're always getting the best deal. In fact, O'Reilly's will match any local auto parts store prices on any like item. They have the parts you need at the prices you can be sure of at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Looking forward to the home run derby tonight, Mr. Culver?
Yes.
Who's the betting favorite besides Bryce Harper, who will probably win this out of the fact that it's home field advantage?
I'm going to go with the National League player.
National League player. You're not going to go with the hometown Alex Bregman? Just bucking the odds and beating all other seven NL participants?
I'm just playing the odds. I'm thinking a National League player has a really good chance of winning
this
year.
I do, too. Seven of the eight are from the National League. Seven of the eight. What happened to all the American League players?
No, they're just
Aaron Judge.
Home runs,
can I say this? Aaron Judge has no reason not to be in the home run
derby.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
He has no reason to skip it. It's not like he's 30 or 34 and he's old. He's young. Get in there and participate in the home run derby. Stop with this, I don't know.
No, but his mentality is probably thinking like, hey, I participated last year. I hit a ton of home runs, the most ever. And, you know, I didn't have that same type of pop during the last half of the season. You probably didn't have the same type of
maybe
pop
so.
Because it was towards the end of the season.
And maybe, just maybe, somebody got into his head and said, you know what? You would have been a lot better if you didn't participate in that home
exactly.
run derby.
You would have hit
anyway,
two
really?
To three more home runs.
And they said, yes, you know what I've noticed over the years in my experience in Major League Baseball, that those who struggle are participated in the home run derby.
Or no, why isn't Giancarlo Stanton hitting?
Yeah, no kidding.
Or, you know, someone from the rest, like J.D. Martinez just signed for a Brinks load of truck, or a Brinks load truck full of money, and he could be in the home run derby. He's crushing it now, or Mookie Betts. These are the people we want to see.
Exactly. I mean,
give a pass to Mike Trout just because of the fact he has to do everything on his team.
Yeah, that is true, because everything. I mean, he's got to wash the clothes. He's got to get the team plane ready. I mean, he's literally
vacuuming
everything.
The dugout, God. You know, the locker room after games.
I've never seen Mike Trout in the postseason at all. I don't think he's ever made it, has he?
I think they played in a one-game playoff once.
I think maybe you're right. I don't know.
I know
I haven't seen him in a series. Like, J.D. Martinez, Jose Ramirez have 29 home runs. Both of them aren't in it. Mike Trout isn't in it. Francisco Lindor has 25 home runs, along with Aaron Judge. All of those aren't in it. At least Jesus Aguilar is in it. Bryce Harper is in it. Nolan Arenado is not. Max Muncy is. These are the top three of four NL home run leaders are participating in the home run derby. Guys who have had 29 so far? No. No, thank you. Not participating at all. Stop. Go in there and hit some home runs. We're not asking you to win. I'm not kidding, man. If you want to dog it because you're worried, dog it. At least show up. You're one of the top home run hitters in baseball. Either this thing is cool or it's very damaging to players' swings and we shouldn't be having it at all. Aaron Judge has no excuse. I went to Aaron Judge's first major league game, his major league debut, and that was in 2016, for crying out loud. Come on. It's not like it was in 2006 and he's playing out the last string of his career. Although they should have that. Like, if you're over 40 or 35, have a home run derby. What about an old-timers game? Should they have an old-timers game for three innings?
Or bring out someone like Adrian Beltre, say, hey, you're on your way out.
Yeah.
Just go out, go out and do it one last time. One final hurrah.
I got an idea. Since Bobby Bonilla still gets a million-plus check every year from the Mets on July 1st, why don't the Mets utilize him and say, we'll put you to work. Get out there and do the home run derby for us.
Or do like a Hall of Fame one. You know, like bring out Barry Bonds. Well, he's not in the Hall of Fame, but Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr.
Why not?
See what these guys can still do. I mean, you know, maybe
make it a short fence.
Yeah,
bring the fence
bring
in, a little bit.
In a little bit.
Oh, here he comes, Dave Winfield. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, because they'll do
home run of 278 feet.
They do that, that old-timer softball game, celebrity softball game or
yeah,
whatever.
Celebrity softball game, yeah.
You know, that's fun, but you have too many celebrities in that. I was like, I want to see some of the old-time players. I want to see Ken Griffey Jr. run down a pop fly again.
When I was working in Colorado Springs, I said on the radio, just on a whim, that I had this bucket list of things I wanted to do. Like one was like play Augusta National and, you know, all these little bucket list things. And I said, one of the things I've always wanted to do is I wanted to face major league level pitching. It didn't have to be a star major leaguer. In fact, it didn't have to be somebody who was currently in the major league, somebody who could throw around that speed with the movement of a baseball. I just want to be in a batter's box to see it. I'm not a good baseball player. I can't hit at all. But I just wanted to know what it was like to be on the plate. So I mentioned this. And luckily for me, the folks at the Colorado Springs Sky Sox had heard that. And they invited me to be a media participant in an alumni game that they were doing. All right, so there was me, a couple of other reporters. We got to dress up in a uniform. We actually got to be on a team. It was really great. I will tell you, one of the things was, after I got dressed in the uniform, I was coming down the entrance of the locker room, which is where you pass the fans that are seated. So it's a locker room that's like up where a press box would be. And you walk down to the field, and you have this like line, and you have this like walkway, and the walkway is surrounded by fans. So me and like a number of other players were going down that tunnel to go onto the field, and kids are screaming, right? They're throwing, they got baseballs. They're like, sign this, sign, can you sign? Oh, can you sign? Can you sign this? And I'm refusing to sign because I'm not a baseball player. I'm just a talk show yapper. I have no business signing a kid's baseball when he's getting like Goose Gossage to sign it. A couple of other Colorado Rockies that had made their way to the Colorado Springs Sky Sox. So I'm refusing to sign anything. And I'm trying to explain to the kids. Every kid looked at me like I was a jerk. Like every kid looked at me like I was, you know, why won't you sign? I was like, I'm a radio. You don't want this. Meanwhile, my buddies are signing like they're Derek Jeter. I mean, they've got the signature and like the perfect, perfect penmanship handing. Hey, how you doing? What's your name, kid? Mark. To Mark. Thank you. These guys are like writers for magazines and stuff like that. And I asked my friend, I said, why did you sign this? He's like, no, the kids asked me. And I realized I blew an opportunity.
He's doing it for the kids.
I should have signed those baseballs and stuff. I thought I was doing the kids a favor. You don't want my signature on a baseball. You got all these baseball players on it. Well, make a long story short. I was on the same team as Goose Gossage, and Goose Gossage was one of my favorite players when I was growing up, and they put me in the middle of the game. They sent me out to right field, because isn't that where you send the worst player on the team? I think lives have changed.
Sidebar real quick. I'm going to say, yes, they normally do, but Babe Ruth was the right fielder.
Okay.
That's why I tell my kid, like if any kids that are on the team, they sometimes get sent out to right field. Hey, Babe Ruth played right field.
Okay, cool. So Babe Ruth played right field and Tony D played right field. So we're all, that's something we have in common, me and Babe Ruth. So they sent me out to right field. I kid you not, I spent the entire three outs sweating bullets that a ball was going to be hit to me. I did not want a ball to be hit to me at all. I knew I wouldn't catch it, and I knew I wasn't going to throw it very well to the cutoff person. And Goose Gossage was on the mound for my team, and I was thanking the good Lord he was striking out the side, because I did not want to have anything hit to me, even remotely hit to me. Are you kidding? So I got to the plate, and so they announced my name, and I step up to the plate, and I stand there, and the pitcher looks at me, and he was an all-star, and he helped lead the Sky Sox to a Pacific Coast League title. I wish I could remember his name. Anyway, first pitch, didn't see it at all. Didn't see the thing at all. 90-something miles an hour. Second pitch, I swung just to say I swung, because I ain't going down looking. I swing, the ball actually hits the bat and goes into the back of the fence, like a straight back foul ball. Like I actually know what I'm doing. Like literally swung, ball goes, hits the bat, goes straight back, meaning your timing is just a little off. Second pitch, curveball. Swung massively late, just massively late, and I struck out. And I was devastated, but I was really excited I got a foul tip. But it was real. One of the things I learned was, I don't know how Major League Baseball players do it, man. I do not know how they get the timing. I could not see this thing. And I get it. If you've lived your life doing a certain thing, it gets easier over time and you just get used to it and you get used to it and you get used to it. And the more you see, the more it just becomes more clear. I'd never seen Major League Baseball pitching, so it's natural that those pitches just were just an instant blur to me. but it was incredible to have a 92 mile an hour fastball thrown at you and not even know what the hell just happened while you were standing at the plate.
I would have played it off. I would have been, you know, sitting there like, hey, you going to throw it?
Yeah, right. I was going to wear the helmet backwards like John Kroc. I mean, I had also, I was, but my heart was racing a mile a minute, man. And I wasn't nervous because I shouldn't have been nervous because I was a media member and I was introduced as a media member. No one had any expectations that I would hit or do anything baseball like. But
yeah, you can't perform. You can't do what they do, but you got opinions about what they do.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's the deal. If you had a little chair and a microphone, I'd be more than happy to, you know, give my thoughts and opinions and do some radio for you. But out of my element,
Tony D is one great hitter.
Right, said Tony D. But it was really a lot of fun. My kid was like really little at the time, and all he kept saying was, "Dad doesn't have any muscles." That was basically my... Like all the other athletes, I mean, even older guys had these big, gigantic arms, and I paled in comparison to that figure. So it was great. It was great. I highly recommend you, Ron Culver, if you get a chance to do that locally,
I'll do it. No, I know exactly what you're saying. My son, he's playing a tournament this weekend. He's actually playing up for his age, which we're very excited about.
That's very cool.
He's actually good enough to be with the older kids. And he faced off a pitcher on Friday night. Their first game was Friday night. He did not swing at the bat or the ball once. And he was able to gain two walks out of it. He was able to work the count both times and went to full. And he was able to draw two walks off of it. And I asked him afterwards, I said, you didn't even swing the bat. He's like, yeah, I didn't see it. This kid was pitching lights out. I mean, one of those where you can hear hit the glove, at that popping sound.
Oh, that pop, pop.
You can hear it every single time. And then I said, okay, then be honest with me. Were you hoping some of them were balls? And he was like, yeah. Yeah, there was a couple times I was just hoping. I'd look at the umpire, and the umpire wouldn't call a strike. And he's like, phew, okay, good.
Oh, good, yeah.
Because I was going to swing, you know, miss gloriously at it.
My son had a really bad habit, and we laugh about it now because he's 17, but we laugh about it now. But when he was younger, if he was at the plate and he let a ball go by him and it was a strike and he didn't swing, just taking a pitch and it was a strike, and all the parents, you know what we do when that happens? Oh, you got to swing at that one. Got to swing at that one. Come on now. You got to swing at that one. He'd swing at the next pitch no matter where it was. No matter where it was, it could have been located 5 feet above his head. He was hacking at that thing. He would swing at any, almost as if in a defiant way to tell everybody that was telling him that, fine, you want me to swing? Fine, I'm swinging in the dirt. Thank you. He said to me, he goes, I always did that. He goes, I never could just keep that out of my head. Every parent that told me I had to swing, I was like, fine, I'm swinging. And the next pitch I'd swing. I was like, oh, that's too bad. I tried to keep my mouth shut, but I was guilty as charged on all of that. I was a terrible dad in those situations. All right, 800-777-2907. Tony D, Ron Culver on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the All-Star Game happening on Tuesday in Washington, D.C., Home Run Derby tonight. The American League standings going into the All-Star break. The Red Sox are 68-30. They're 9-1 over their last 10. They have a 4.5 game lead over the Yankees, who have 62 wins and 33 losses. And that's how good Boston is playing. Cleveland leading the Central by 7.5. They should probably, you know, win that without any trouble. The Astros have a 5-game lead over the Seattle Mariners. Seattle is still playing very good at 58-39, but the Astros leading that. Justin Verlander got rocked a bit in his final outing before the break on Sunday in a loss to Detroit. But nevertheless, that's where the American League is, with three teams with already 60 wins. Now, I know like Boston has played 98 games, but still 68-30, fantastic. I mean, a walk-off grand slam the other day. I mean, everything's going right. And it feels like to me, I mean, Ron, it feels like to me, everything in Boston goes right, right? I mean, they're never like without a team potentially in a championship. It's been like that way for like 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I remember growing up that they were almost, I'm not saying they were a joke, the Celtics were always really good. But the Red Sox never won. Patriots, the only Super Bowl appearance they had, they got blown out.
By the Bears. Yep.
And I'm not, you know, I don't count hockey yet. So, but
yeah, right.
I mean, yeah, but they weren't title town, and it seems like, I guess, with the emergence of Brady, Belichick, and then the Red Sox getting a title, and the Celtics coming back to prominence, like, seems like they're like title town once again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I thought that the Celtics were going to end up winning. I thought the Celtics would beat Cleveland and go to the NBA Finals. So I had already had it in my mind. I was like, my God, they you know, last, what was it, a couple months ago, I thought, wow, they just had the Patriots in the Super Bowl despite losing to the Eagles, and now they're going to have the Celtics in the Finals, and the Red Sox are in first place. This could be one of those really incredible years for New England sports where they're just constantly busy with championship talk and finals appearances and whatnot. Look, this Red Sox team, I mean, I grew up in that area, so I know how the Red Sox are woven into the fabric of the sports culture. As good as the Patriots are, as good as the Celtics have been, you know, it's always a Red Sox town. It's a Red Sox town first. And it's and to go to be 68-30, to have a winning percentage near 70%. The Yankees are on their heels, yes. The Astros are the defending world champs, yes. So I know there's obstacles for them to get to the World Series. But if they don't, this is going to be massively disappointing because all of what you've been seeing from the Red Sox is everything going right. Everything going right. And for it to get to September and October, for it to go wrong, heartbreaking.